Should we say hi again so we know who's
who? Okay. Ben Stiller.
Rob Cohen.
David Cross.
Me, Bob Odenkirk.
Jeff Kahn.
So we decided we were going to, this is our last episode, and I guess we went back to some, we'd done the YouTube Bar Mitzvah.
The Rockumentary.
And we did the YouTube commercial.
Lucky
right?
This, when you guys were shooting this, this looks so good.
It's massive.
It's
amazing.
Like,
wow. Yeah.
And it's relevant today.
It really stands the test of time.
No, it is.
Yeah, I guess
it's
it is.
Totally relevant. U2's big, and
but look at how we're integrating Manson in there. They're just like
we did. And Bono still does the same moves, and he still looks the same way.
He does do his thing.
I remember this. We had like five or six cameras going at the same time on this.
And a crane. And a crane.
It's amazing.
Obviously, the Zoo tour was happening at that point.
I think the Zoo tour happened for about 2 years. So.
This is,
Adam Jr.
This is a good example, though, of the show being a little weirder and more absurd than almost any other show that would have an impersonation like this. You know what I mean?
Well, there were less jokes, I think, is what's going on.
It's also
just kind of...
That's some killer drumming, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Every time I had to drum as Larry Mullen, I
dreaded it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Ben would have to show me how to drum.
Oh, right.
Ben was a drummer.
That's right.
I would like, it was hard. It was so hard.
And Jeff Kahn.
Who's that?
Now you have a face
girl
to put with the voice.
Oh, I had a little beard thing there. I think I grew it.
Now, Jeff, when was the first time that we did, that you did the Edge Night?
We
didn't.
Okay,
Jeff and I did like a little live.
We did
act.
A stand up show.
I saw it actually back in New York.
Yeah, you did see it.
Back in like, it was a very kind of just amorphous sort of like, I don't know what we were doing.
It's.
What year was that?
88
and 89.
I just love playing that Rickenbacker guitar, I can tell you that right now.
So we were trying to
faking it.
What was the U2 thing we did on stage?
We did we turned around and we did Ocek brand cereal. That's what we did.
Okay, so that was
we did a commercial and then
commercial that we did on the show later on.
Yeah, for the Lucky
because we were kind of obsessed with U2. I remember I was obsessed with U2 after I saw Rattle and Hum.
Well, yeah, we watched Rattle and Hum every frame, and then we had to break it apart. And
Ben, you said that
like studied you two
on that last show. You said the cops thing was the last thing we shot. This didn't come after.
No,
I'm telling
times.
You, I know why. Because I had to get on an airplane that night.
You had
from Medieval Times. So that's, I'll always remember that was our last night of shooting.
Huh.
Something. I think we did the stuff in the studio, then we went on location, and that was it.
I see. TV isn't done the night that you show it?
No, TV is placed in a container and sent out into orbit.
It's a series of pneumatic tubes that reach.
The
so there aren't little. There are no little people inside this monitor.
No, right
that
now,
looks like me, like a little me.
Right. No, that's an image of you.
Forget it. Right. I can't. I'll never
figure it out.
Get it,
Well, I could explain the electronics to you because I definitely understand them.
Well, now, Bob, you bring up an interesting point.
What happened to the little people?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Before,
well, let's talk about something real. Why don't we talk about how... we're talking about... Since this is the writers here, or like not all the writers, but a bunch of the writers. Can you guys talk about what the...
I'm Ben Stiller.
In the offices writing the show and how it happened. I mean, was there any, or was it different than any other experience you'd had? Like on Saturday Night Live, you would go in during the week and had a very specific framework.
Yeah.
Well, you were the professor.
Well,
that I remember.
All sketch shows are pretty sloppy. And the great thing about a good sketch show is, you know, everybody gets to express themselves and have their own sensibility. And that's true with Rob on this show and even David, TJ, Pudertoots, and Jeff. Everybody has sketches that they can point to.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Dana Gould write this?
Yeah, Out of the Antique.
That is Dana Gould.
You know, but then it goes through a room and it kind of gets brought up to. So there's like a shared level of jokes and sensibility. And I think with this show, with the Ben Stiller show, there was a little more purity to the ideas. Like, they didn't get roomed out, you know.
That was the key.
Thinned out.
Yeah, and I think that then you produce your own sketches. So you like that was right. your sketch, even though like, people would hop on other people's sketches and everybody was helping each other out. You sort of got to see your sketch through casting and costume and editing,
and
right?
I remember being really surprised and like really pleasantly surprised when you were asking me input and having me come down to the set on that stuff. I was like, oh, cool. I thought it was like. You're right, because again, I had no past experience or frame of reference, and I thought you wrote it, send it in, that's it, and you sit and you try to come up with more ideas. So I was really impressed and excited about that.
But also, Jeff, I think, brought up a great point where we all those tiny little offices, Bob and I shared the smallest one, I think, in the whole row, and you would just go room to room and have people pitch stuff and put it in the packet, and it was great. I haven't been on a show since then.
Yeah, we were all friends, and we were all like...
But did people get along? Weren't there some fights? Yeah. Weren't there camps?
Only one.
Can we talk about that fight? Let's talk about that.
Was there any other fight? I don't think...
That was the fight.
I don't think... Woody Allen fight, right?
Yeah. Well, you know why? Because it broke the show down into different sections.
But you have to describe what happened between.
I don't want to bring up bad memories, but it was funny.
You had a fight with
somebody.
You
punched
beat
the wall.
Up Woody Allen.
I finally beat him up. I was like, stop it already.
God.
Jeff and Andy Dick were trying to play Woody Allen in a sketch we were doing, and
everybody was writing this Woody Allen sketch too, right? There was Dino and I were writing one, and you guys were writing another one, right?
Yeah, but there was a Woody off outside of Bob and our office.
And then there was this Woody off because Ben actually wanted me to play Woody, and I did a little acting on
the
show.
Was I pro you playing Woody?
You were pro me.
And then Bob was like, Andy should play Woody because he's in the cast, right?
Right. So Bob was like a country lawyer, and he started going from room to room and talking about why Andy, and very calmly, because Andy would come in and go, I'm 50 times better actor than you are, and he was very upset. And then I'd get upset, and I heard I punched the wall, but
you
I
did
can't
punch
you
the wall.
Did. You punched the wall.
I punched the wall. Well,
and it was beautiful.
Was it?
So there was a little excitement.
There was an excitement. Like, I really wanted to play Woody Allen, but, you know, at this point, it's like...
This is a pretty cool sketch. Who wrote this sketch?
Dana.
It's all him. Right. Well, he has very smart, funny ideas.
Yeah, he's a great writer.
He's done a bunch of short films, too, that he's, like, written and
directed. Yeah, he just did another one that's great that he directed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's great.
The one thing that's not good about not really having a room redo every idea is that ideas can be so... There's a great thing about a sketch show where when ideas are very different from each other, you get a lot of variety, and that's great. And then sometimes it can feel like things aren't really connected. You know what I mean?
But I thought that helped on this show because it was...
No, I know. It can be great, but it can be negative because I think viewers can feel like Monty Python you watch, and you kind of like know you're watching Monty Python even though they don't repeat ideas or characters really.
Right.
That's because they sat in a room and everything went through this same group.
But this, I think, not to keep droning on about this, but I think the good thing with this show, with the personalities involved, is you could sort of tell people's personalities on certain sketches, and that when you mix it all together, it was really great. And when people would team up, usually it would sort of help highlight that. And I just thought it was great. Like, Ben, you and I have like a sick love of pop culture, movies, and things like that. And
right.
And Bob,
Dino wrote this.
Bob, I'm trying to compliment you.
As we say,
yeah,
this,
but
Rob is wearing his Batman tee.
Yes. You're right. I just want to say Dino wrote this.
Dino. Yeah.
This was really funny. Yeah.
This is actually Dino's fifth birthday party, verbatim.
I feel like with everybody, with this show, all the...
That's a Dino.
He loves kids doing nasty things.
He loves dirt.
The production quality of this show, the directing, and the look of it is amazing for a sketch show. There's no sketch show.
But also
a film.
I think,
high level.
And can I say just about that, I think that the only reason that we had that was because we wanted to do it. I think any show could do it if they really cared about it. And it was just something that we wanted to do. And I think a lot of shows just don't care, and it's not that important. And at the end of the day, I don't know how important it is, because if something's funny, it's funny, and it doesn't matter if it looks great or not. But it was, just something that...
With certain sketches, like, you have to do it on film just to... Like, Manson on video would never fly.
I mean, it would, though. I think it would have been just as funny.
Yeah.
You could just do black and white video, it would be just as funny, but... you know, just happened to.
I think the look was a part of the show. I think that the fact that it looked like that, it added to it. It gave it a.
Yeah, I think it added to it, but I'm just saying, you know, I've found, like, over the years, too, like, when you work on things in movies, sometimes you do these things that are really, like, special effects or, you know, big kind of involved things that are part of a comedy. Sometimes at the end of the day, what's the funniest thing is, you know, the interaction between two people. It's just a funny scene.
Totally.
You know, and you've learned that lesson a number of times, and then you, you know, you kind of realize, well, there's a balance there that it has to be there, you know, on the page.
Do you want to talk about this character?
Well, this was a character
Michael Rubles
that we had in the pilot episode also that was kind of based on an agent that I had, my first agent, who I won't name.
Do you remember when you first did that character?
We did it in the Colin Quinn special.
Before that?
Where was
In my
oh, right, in your audition tape.
My audition tape.
Jeff and I met in Chicago, and we were putting together an audition tape in 1988.
Like 88, 87, 88.
Yeah, and I was your agent pitching you, like, what was I pitching?
Well, you torturing me and telling me what I shouldn't do or shouldn't do, and how you were representing all, like, Kirk Cameron and...
Right, and then Colin Quinn, directed this MTV special, because Colin was on Remote Control, a series. That was a popular series with Ken Ober. And Colin was a sidekick and got very popular for a while on the channel, and they gave him his own special. And so
back to Brooklyn.
Yeah. But I think that was kind of the same character, but it was the head of the MTV network.
This guy is also a good example of the weird celebrities.
You were the agent just pitching him.
This is a good example of the weird celebrities.
We had Alex Karras coming into Michael Ferre's office.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we had
Tom
Arnold.
Norman Fell did the show.
Run DMC.
Run DMC, yeah.
Norman Fell.
And then the
Gary Coleman.
Right. And there are 100 agents just like this.
So yeah, I mean, that's
always, this is the personality that's drawn to that job.
It really is the frightening truth, you know. I think as we went along, we tried to make his nose look more and more like an actual
parrot. Easily, yeah.
This is like a standard part of what you guys would do, where you'd all take a schvitz together, and you just brought the cameras in for one of these.
We used to have writer meetings in the steam room.
Yeah. Right, right.
An old Hollywood tradition.
It is an old Hollywood tradition.
Don't they do this on Jiminy Glick now?
They do it at the end of Jiminy Glick.
Yeah.
They do.
Corns have all
dissolved. Let's sue.
Food is fast and delicious.
Okay, so thanks, and just remember buying those products.
What was the, what are we doing here?
Really do work.
Oh.
It's
kind of an odd little piece.
John F. Kennedy was assassinated for one reason only, because he was obsessed with the dream.
Oh, this is me and you, right?
Excuse me.
It wasn't me.
I was just out in a park.
I think it was David Cross.
Judd was there, and I was just trying to memorize it and then do it real quick before my brain lost it.
Are we including this on the... We're going to... I think we have dailies of this, which is kind of interesting, of, like, you doing it, like, the camera's running and...
Is it good?
Yeah. Well, you can approve it if you want.
No, you can just put it on. I don't care.
No, no, but it's funny because I think you see, like, how your process works in terms of, like, you kind of, like, you know, kind of play around with it, but also...
Oh, good.
Rob, you didn't write this with me?
I don't remember. Maybe.
No, I don't know who
it was. Judd.
Wrote it.
Maybe it was Judd. Maybe it was Judd.
I thought Judd had something to do with the writing of this.
This
is a wild sketch.
This is
man.
This is a
I'm so humiliated.
This is one of the greatest things to watch being filmed for about 90 reasons.
This is how I the only way I could get on the show
is
like that Ben wouldn't want to do it, and then they call up to the writers' room and say you can do this now, Jeff. So run down, and I didn't know what the sketch was.
You didn't want to do it.
You didn't want to do it.
I was supposed to be in it.
Yeah,
and
you were like
directing it. Right.
Right.
I don't think you wanted to do it.
Maybe I just didn't want to. But I have to take responsibility, because this is an example of why sometimes when you have a dream that you think would be a funny sketch. I swear to God, I had a dream.
We talked about this.
And then I thought, I dreamt this sketch.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And but it's funny.
It's Andy whatever it is. It just didn't translate the way. You know, you wake up and you think something's hilarious and you tell people.
You're telling me your dream was better than this?
Yeah, it was better than this. And it was shorter, too. But for some reason.
Andy does a great job.
Yeah, he's a good man.
I like the insight into what your brain's doing when you're switched off. Your brain's going.
So Jeff, what was going through your mind when you were slamming your hand on the console just now?
All I knew is I was like, come down and just do it. And I said, what's the sketch? And they said, we don't know, just come
down
and
it's drunk Jacques Cousteau.
Yeah. and you're just going to help him.
This was a real... I heard about this sketch back at the office. I wasn't down here on the set.
Look at the prosthetic piece.
Mine, you mean? Look at Andy's chin.
But I thought it was funny.
It's a funny sketch. Yeah. It's okay.
He does a great Jacques Cousteau, and it's silly and crazy.
No, Andy's funny in it, and it's just weird. But it's this is a good example of like where we were, you know, at near the end of our run in terms of, you know, just trying to come up with stuff. And sometimes the length of these things, you know, they were a little longer than they should have been. I think that's the key to, you know, I don't know if you guys got into that a lot on Mr. Show, but keeping things, you know, moving. Right? And sometimes things go on too long. And you have to fill the half hour too. And
well, the sketch is officially half.
We had a different situation. We got to spend more time, I think, actually, with sketches because we were doing a show for HBO. So we'd do 10 a year. That's it. We never even did 12 a year. I mean,
he is. I call him Francois. Hello, Francois.
Cut.
I love
you. Look at that nose.
I love everything I ever loved.
Listen to Andy when he cries.
And didn't Jacques Cousteau's ghost...
Oh, look at that earring I have. God almighty.
No, I didn't hear about that, really.
Oh, no.
That is it!
Oh, God. I'm just trying to remember my lines.
Wait, let's hold so we can hear Jeff's accent.
No.
Come on.
Shut up. Don't torture, man. I don't want to hear the accent.
I say you're perfect casting for this, though. Really, I mean, I believe that you're a frog.
You believe that I'm a frog in this?
I can't believe this. Anything we can sell?
People,
I
think I can
edit something together. Oh, yeah, this is the payoff here.
I see. That's a pretty smart joke, I think, for primetime TV. That's a really smart joke.
Smart
way to...
Too smart for this DVD.
No.
Wrap it.
No, it's a great joke. You have to listen closely to get it, and it doesn't have a lot of juice in it. You just have to... You know, what he's saying isn't funny. It's all how he's saying
it. This was exciting.
I'm just happy that anybody ever showed up.
Yeah,
to do
we had
this
great
show. Because nobody really had any idea that this thing was on the air.
But you got called a call from Bono, didn't you? At some point.
You ran into him.
I did run into him at one point. Yeah.
It was long before this sketch.
Unclear whether he enjoyed it or not, but he was always very nice about it.
Can I say, I know you are, you bastard.
But didn't you also play flag football with Tom Cruise during the show or something? I'm not trying to pimp you out.
I did, yes.
And he was really cool about it.
Well, no. My girlfriend at the time, Jean Triplehorn, who appeared on the show a couple times, was doing The Firm, the movie with him. And so... I went to visit her, and she had been talking about it. I don't think he ever saw it. She'd been talking about that I did this impression on the show, and he's, you know, was just incredibly friendly and said, hey, and when I came to visit her, he said, hey, let me check out that impression.
Oh.
And I was like, I said, I don't have the tapes with me. I'll get them to you. And I just, I never got them to him. It was too weird for me to sit and watch, you know, with
Yeah.
But then he ended up seeing, and then we ended up doing a thing on the MTV Awards a couple of years ago.
I
was a stunt man, so you know it was.
That was great.
He just.
Well, we love. I mean, the other thing about doing Bono was how much we loved him. You know, we loved you too, and we like worshipped them.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. But the song was great.
Oh, yeah.
The song was great.
That was actually a dream I had.
Yeah.
And it's verbatim.
Oh, hey, check this out. This is incredible. The man is Sherman Hemsley. The book is Cooking with Sherman Hemsley. Yeah. Thank you. All right, here's where we take a look at what's on Zoo TV today.
Hey, why not?
All right, here we go.
See, now we're showing clips from our earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
He's right around the corner.
George Jefferson, what are you up to now?
Cairo. Cairo.
She's in Cairo.
That's because didn't he like call people up from all over the world and...
Yeah, well, we were being accurate.
Yeah.
I never saw the Jefferson, so this whole thing was...
Really?
I never watched it. I didn't watch much TV.
This is song.
I mean, I know the kid. I know who they are, but I...
Because then if we can move together, we can move it on up. Isn't that right, Sherman?
That's right!
Isn't that right, Weezy?
Oh, yeah!
Yeah. Oh, we're moving on up.
Moving on up to the east side.
Moving on up
to a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Moving on up.
Moving on up
to the east side.
Moving on up.
We finally got a piece of the pie.
See it is easy.
Fish don't fry in the kitchen.
Gosh.
Beans don't burn on the grill.
Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill.
Now we're up in the big league. Get my turn and back.
As long as we live, you and me, baby, ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, we're moving on up.
Moving on up
to the east side.
Moving on up.
We finally got a piece of the pie.
We did Moving On Up to with YouTube Music.
Right. So it is a really great set, though, for just considering everything that we were dealing with budget-wise on the show. And
all the cameras, too.
Yeah, it was amazing to watch.
Yeah, Sharon Seymour did an incredible job. And
yeah, the crew.
And Jeff Nipp, who worked with her, was her art director. And those guys were working, you know, all the time for no money. And basically, like I was talking about earlier, they just cared about trying to make it look great and, just had that attitude.
But also, the great thing about the crew that we touched on before is I don't think we ever were rejected. Like, they always found a way to do something with the money that we had.
Yes.
And they were phenomenal. They couldn't have been cooler with the time and money.
And Julie Carnahan did all the costumes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And here we are getting use out of the creepy board set makeup again, too.
Anyhow.
Hey, sounds like Woody Allen in this one. With the
economy and whatnot. Let it go.
So
sorry.
If you,
Watch a wall right here.
Slash dancer. Please give
I had a guy named Russ Alsobrook, who's a cinematographer, right? Who did an incredible job shooting this stuff. And Clyde Smith,
what else
shot our pilot.
Russ did...
Clyde is fantastic.
Awesome Stories.
Yeah.
When it was in Austin with us, yeah.
What
did,
else?
Did all
has
of them.
He shot anything since then that you
Oh,
know?
Yeah. I mean, he shot
he
a
really
bunch
was
of,
great.
He shot... I know he's worked with Judd on his shows.
He does a lot of Dakota stuff, too.
Russ?
Russ and Clyde, yeah.
You know, so he worked on...
they're great.
Judd's last two series. So
mm-hmm.
Nice Judd.
Oh, my
out.
God.
See, now this was the moment we got canceled.
This is actually the last thing that would have ever aired, because it was in the last
I see that you're
show.
Enthralled by the 13th episode.
Well,
when Judd takes his shirt off, I love this piece.
Yeah, this was...
It's so bittersweet.
This is purely made up on the spot. We were just coming up with it, but Janine was just, tapping into whatever older Jewish woman in her existed. I don't know how.
Actually, my cousin...
I mean, I know where my inspiration came from.
My cousin Pishik was very happy to hear that be mentioned.
You know, when I first started watching these characters and I loved them, but I never experienced anybody like going like, really, are there got people going to do it? And now I've experienced it, and it's really astoundingly like, what is wrong with you? You think I'm going to sit here on the plane or in the bathroom
and do my character for you and do my little funny bit for you?
Do it. Come on, do it.
I know. There's no
do it people. Come on, pouty face.
There's no way to win with those kind of people.
Man.
The Casey Kasem one of this. Irving Velasquez.
I'm glad.
Oh yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was incredible.
All right, well,
good.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Right. That was fun. Thanks guys.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.